What's up next?
Next, we take you to a boutique gin maker in Healesville, Victoria, called Four Pillars. Last month, Four Pillars achieved a double gold medal at the prestigious San Francisco World Spirits Competition. So a big round of applause for them, or to them.
Yeah.
Graham speaks shortly with Cameron McKenzie, the distiller at Four Pillars. But first, to explain a little about gin, we have a song by a group with the curious name of The Men That Will Not Be Blamed for Nothing, and their steampunk gin song.
Well, it's my pleasure to welcome to the Travel Writer Show today Cameron McKenzie, who's the distiller at a small gin-making facility at Healesville. It's called Four Pillars. Welcome to the show, Cameron.
G'day, Graham. How are you?
Well, I'm great, but I imagine you're fantastic because you've just won double gold at the San Francisco World Spirits Championships. That's pretty good going for a small Victorian outfit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of pinch yourself stuff, really. We've won that for the second time in 3 years now, which is just crazy for a little Australian distillery. So we're on a high, that's for sure.
So does that make you the top gin in their world, so to speak?
I'd like to think so, but I think it certainly puts us amongst the upper echelon of great gins of the world, which is a nice place to be.
Absolutely. Tell us how you got started in making gin, because it wasn't something that you decided to do from birth, was it?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think we kind of ended up in gin a little bit by default, in a way. It was not something that we'd planned to do, a decade ago. My background was in the wine industry, working in production through to sales and marketing and general management of various wineries around the Yarra.
Yeah.
And a colleague of mine, Stuart Gregor, a great friend and colleague, we just talked for a long time about doing a little side project. And funny, because gin is very much, I think, the wine drinker's white spirit of choice. It has a lot of similarities to wine. It's aromatic, it's textural, it's flavoursome, it's about balance. So, we would always catch up and have a gin and tonic or a martini before our evenings went and got a bit silly. And we actually thought we might make tonic water going back 5 or 6 years ago. There wasn't really much happening in the tonic scene.
And those premixes aren't very good, are they?
No, well, not premix things, but, these days we're starting to see some really high-end tonics.
Okay.
But 5 or 6 years ago, they just didn't really exist. So thankfully, we came to our senses and decided to make gin instead of tonic.
Right.
And, it took us 3 years to get through the red tape and the permits and find the right still and work on our recipe. But when we finally launched, we found we'd sort of created something that was a bit unique.
So did the winemaking business prepare you for being a distiller, or is it a totally different world?
Oh, no, I think it stood us in really good stead. We, from a production point of view, I learnt, everything I really needed to know about pumps and filters and bottling and packaging. Distillation is quite different to winemaking in that we're dealing with hot ethanol, so there's a lot more safety aspects that we take into account. But from a recipe creation point of view, the wine industry was an enormous advantage for those things I said before. Every day in the wine industry, we look for aromatics, balance, flavour, texture, and they're the same things we look for in our finished gin as well. So we found that getting consistency across our products wasn't as hard as it might have been had we not had that background.
So what's the raw material that you use, Cameron? Because I know people use different things, from potatoes to grains. What do you use?
We have a base spirit that's made for us up in New South Wales, made from Australian wheat.
Right.
You could use grape spirit or sugar spirit or whey. There's spirit made out of whey these days. Most distillers treat the spirit very much as a botanical. We would need a slightly different still in order to make that base spirit, but I'd prefer to sort of treat it as a botanical. So we bring that in, have it made for us, and then we use a series of botanicals to turn it into gin. Obviously, juniper being the most important. If you don't have juniper, you're not gin, you're just a flavoured vodka.
And is that grown locally?
No, we don't grow a lot of juniper in Australia, strangely enough. It's a type of conifer tree.
Yep.
It will grow here, but most of the juniper seems to be around Europe. Ours is out of Macedonia. We decided to sort of source ingredients from all around the place, but also to use a couple of interesting Australian native botanicals like lemon myrtle and Tasmanian mountain pepper. We also use some finger limes and bits and pieces, but to try and do a purely Australian gin really wouldn't have worked because we couldn't get the juniper.
Right, and pine cones aren't a good substitute.
That might be a nice substitute, but we wouldn't be allowed to call it gin, unfortunately.
So is there a sort of an international agreement as to what gin is?
There is. Most countries seem to have some fairly loose legalities around calling something gin. The main one is that it has to have a dominant juniper character in it. There's no gin police running around saying you don't have enough juniper. So it's sort of self-regulated. But at the end of the day, we wanted to make sure we had a huge background or canvas of juniper to make sure we were a relevant style of modern gin rather than being London Dry Gin, which is all about juniper.
Yes.
We wanted that juniper to kind of be there, sit there very much as a base, and then build some interesting characters over the top of it.
It does seem that Australians have taken to some of these more interesting gins that have got, you know, cucumber and other flavours that you perhaps may not have expected in the drink before you start adding anything.
Yeah, that's right. I think gin is one of those things that for many years it's suffered from the perception of being something your mother or your grandmother drank.
Mm.
And, you know, certainly my mother loved a martini, but it was very much London Dry Gin. And I think a lot of people that smell London Dry Gin have that memory trigger of that huge pine needle character. I love that character, but I didn't want to make that character. We wanted to make a more modern, contemporary style of gin. And we see here every day at the distillery when we're open that a lot of people who come in and taste it are blown away by the fact that it's not what they thought gin would be.
Right. And do you, obviously you encourage people to come to your cellar door?
We do, yeah. We're open every day of the week now.
Okay.
We do tastings, little gin and tonic paddles, Negronis, martinis. So, and our staff take everyone through all of the different botanicals, how we distill. You actually get to see the stills in action through the glass there and talk to myself and all the other staff. It's a terrific little spot, actually.
Well, I like a gin. I better come up there and go through that process. That sounds interesting. So, do you actually sip any raw gin? Is it that type of gin, or does it need to be mixed?
Oh, look, I think most people certainly mix their gins with tonic or with different vermouths to make martinis and Negronis and things. But I think the more modern styles of gin are actually fantastic to sip neat. They're more flavoursome, they're more aromatic, and they're a little bit cleaner and sweeter on the palate.
So do you have them with ice, or do you warm them with your hand? How do you sip them?
When I sip them, I just either sip them neat or I'll sip them with one ice cube and just let that ice cube slowly dissolve into the gin.
Mm, sounds great. Now, the name, I'm intrigued by the name that you've given your gin, Cameron. Where did that come from?
Four Pillars. Well, Stu and I, when we worked together, we always felt that you could build anything on four pillars. It wasn't four pillars in particular. It didn't really mean anything specific. It just meant that everything that we built, we felt had to have a good foundation, and we would always try and look for what those four pillars were. So for our gins, we felt it was the type of still that we use. We use the best craft stills in the world, made in Germany by a company called Christian Karl. We think the most interesting source of botanicals. We're on the spice trails of Asia here in Australia, so we get incredibly good spices from around the world, as well as these really interesting native Australian botanicals. We've got an amazing water source out here with incredibly clean water. And then the fourth pillar for us was just a love of craft products, making small batch, handmade, interesting things. So they were very much our four pillars.
Oh, that sounds great. And obviously, your four-legged stool's better than a three-legged one, isn't it?
Exactly.
Cameron, are you pitching this at the mid-market, or are you definitely sort of at the top of the market with this product? Where do you see it sitting?
Yeah, we sort of sit around the $70 plus mark, so we're at the premium end of the scale, and I think anyone who visits us and sees how these gins are made and just how hands-on the process is would understand that. They're certainly quite unique small batch gins. We distill every day here. It's quite a long process to distill, but our output's pretty small. I think the big commercial players probably spill more than we make in a year, but it's tremendous fun, and so far we're getting a pretty good response.
Well, it sounds like that. Now, I know you are doing some gin that's been, is it been aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels or something? You've got a coloured product there.
We do. We do a barrel-aged gin. We actually use some old French oak wine barrels.
Okay.
That we source from various wineries around the Yarra and beyond. I don't like new oak in gin, but this is loosely based on a style of gin called an Old Tom, which would be generally a sweetened gin.
Mm.
But instead of sweetening it, we've aged our gin, or some of our gin, in oak, and that is a natural sort of balancing, sweetening character.
Well, it sounds like you've really got some great marketing ideas as well as the product knowledge to deliver a good, true gin. Now, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Oh, look, you can go through our website, which is fourpillarsgin.com.au. We're on Facebook with the same handle, Instagram, Twitter, all of those sorts of things. We're open every day in the main street of Healesville in the Yarra Valley from 10:30 through till 5:30 and till 9 o'clock on a Friday and a Saturday.
Well, it absolutely sounds terrific, Cameron. I congratulate you on your win and on the entrepreneurship you're bringing to Healesville. I know it lost a big, I was going to say, grog production facility up there when, is it White Rabbit? Moved down to Geelong. Yeah. Are you in their facility or is it a different one?
No, we're in a different facility. We're at the start of town.
Okay.
At the end of town. We're in a beautiful old converted timber yard. So it's a pretty impressive old shed.
Sounds great. Well, I'm definitely going to make a trip up there. Hillsville's only an hour out of town. Cameron, thanks again for being on Travel Writers Radio. I've enjoyed the chat.
Thanks, Graham. Thanks for having me on. It was terrific.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.